All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of... Oh, wait, we're not ready.
No, we're ready.
Oh, what'd you do?
I just gave you a thumbs up.
Oh, that was Sean's thumb. So I'm going to start over. But I want this to actually live on the real podcast that goes out. Welcome to another episode of Innovation Crush. That was Robert Donez, who's sitting to my right, who's a fine echo. You're a good echoer.
Thanks.
You try. You should have went echoer.
Never mind.
And my name is Chris Denson. And, you know, if you haven't listened to us before, this show, we really look at amazing trends in marketing, media, technology, product development, and the people that are behind bringing a lot of these things, making them real, really. So today we have Jason Okuma. Say hello, Jason.
Hey, what's up, guys?
That's good.
Welcome.
Welcome. And we're actually on our afternoon high. We both ate and had. I even drank Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Yes. Yeah,
no, real deal then.
I think my insides might come out a little.
I'm turning up right now.
Can we cut this short? So one of the things I always kind of start off these conversations with, because everyone's an individual and they work in a world filled with people. So in that world, in that circle, and in the center, we find Jason Okuma. Tell me a little bit about the Jason Okuma personal brand.
Personal brand, I mean, simply put, it's a multifaceted diamond, and I shine in many facets and many directions. However, at the sum bottom line of everything I do, everything I represent, my vision, my passion, my whole purpose for being is to help people get what they want, help companies and brands get that what they want. So, you know, and then we go into specifics. You know, you gotta bring diamonds in from Israel. You want to get oil from Canada. You want to do some real estate deals here.
Right.
You want to get into the startup scene. You need offices, you need. So I'm the go-to guy, but it's irrelevant. It's not what I need. It's what are the people that come to me, and these are.
Right.
I used to work with everybody's, but now I'm only because of time. I can only work with the somebody's, and that's a blessing, you know.
That's why you're on this show. Working with the somebody's, huh?
Yeah.
You hear that, three listeners? So that's awesome. So really, I mean, it's, you know, when you say it's about helping people get what they want, is that, you know, is really kind of bringing ideas to life, right? If somebody comes to you, and I think I'm going to translate before you explain it, but is it kind of like, I have an idea. Is that the right idea for me? Do I even have the right idea, first of all? And secondly, once we do get the right set of ideas, putting together a plan of action. Is that kind of it in a
yes
nutshell?
Yes and yes. I cover a lot. At the sum of it all, the mindset and then the methodologies and execution. So some will run an idea by me for my insight and perspective, and then others already know what they're doing. Most top achievers, they're running already. So I'm just coming alongside to run and expose blind spots. And they're just like, Jason, I need this. And I'll say, done. I'll intro you to this person to get that one done. I'll refer you to this person to get this one done. So.
Right.
Yes and yes to answer your question.
So what's like the most common hurdle? I'm sure there's several, right? But what is the most common hurdle to success, you know, from idea to market, right?
Lack of clarity and concentrated focus. I see that amongst my many creatives that are many entrepreneurs, you know, and entrepreneurs in general, you know, the lack of clarity and lack of not just focus, but concentrated focus. And that's something.
And why is that? Because, you know, I find, like, you know, when I do have conversations like that, people are like, I feel like ideas come a dime a dozen. It's the right set of ideas that is hard to discover and put into practice. Why do you think that happens so often?
Because a lot of I'm a huge guy on personal development. I always say you got to go within first or you're going to go without. Wherever you go, you're the common factor. If it's not this company you're building, it's that company. If it's not this job, it's that job. But wherever you are, you're the common factor.
So wait, you said go within and what? Sorry, one more time.
Go within, you know, develop yourself, your personal self, your mindset. You will always take that to whatever company, business, venture, project, team. So I'm always work on yourself first. I'm huge on that. You just lost my creative thought.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. No, because it was a good question.
So it's like, what are those common?
Why is there such a lack of clarity when?
So I bring it back to it. So I made that statement because I challenge individuals to have a personal mission statement for their life, a personal vision statement for their life, and that's summed up of their personal core values. You know, if you got the Red Cross, IBM, Google, everyone, they have a mission statement, a core, you know, a core statement that all employees, team, contractors, partners should be aware and competent to what the ultimate goal is. And their role in accomplishing that goal is. So coming down to your own personal life, hey, man, you can make a lot of money in this business. Awesome. But is it in direct core alignment with my core values and my ultimate vision, direction, and purpose in my life, of which I predefined in advance? So like for me, you have no because, you know, I do a lot of fundraising, a lot of companies. I work with VC, institutional monies, angels, all my angel guys, incubators, accelerators.
Where are my angels at?
Woo! Exactly. You know, so these guys, you know, so entrepreneurs or startups, you know, they're always a pitch. I mean, I can – my emails is just like, hey, got another one. All these deals, right? So they want a pitch. But just because it'll potentially make money, I mean, is it – something that should be investing your most invaluable commodity in life, which is your time, right? So if you already have your clear and your focus, then you can go into action of going into concentrated focus and only align your time up with the projects or ventures or businesses that you know, you can really excel with.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that because, I mean, even, you know, just starting off the conversation with what is your personal brand, a lot of that same thing happens with companies, right? Where it's, you know, yes, we're this massive company. And if our brand isn't clearly defined, then we will grab at a ton of wrong opportunities.
Oh, that is so true.
Right.
And you'll even see, I always say a house divided, or not I say, it's a known thing, a house divided will fall, you know? So united we stand, divided we fall. Think of that as from a company. Think of it from a business. Think of it as a brand. You know, you got a company that's shooting out after the top filet mignon consumers, and you got a bunch of vegans and vegetarians working up in your brand and like spewing social media
crying over the dead flesh that's being processed
out. It's definitely not in alignment with the core vision of, you know, but it's a job. It's like, hey, man, it may not be a match. It's not personal, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. And then kind of, you know, perusing your LinkedIn, tell us a little bit about Jatty Incorporated.
Jatty Inc. So my background, the Jason Okuma brand, I've been in the entrepreneur education game for many, many years, 21 plus years, started a business at a very young age. So I've advised and coached, I have a pretty gnarly or large audience with the Gen X, Gen Y.
You have 30,000 Twitter followers is what you have.
Something like that.
Pretty good. Which was like 24 the other day when we first talked. I was like, this dude is growing by leaps and bounds.
Are you verified yet?
Yeah. No.
We got to get you that blue check mark, man. We got to do it.
So that's the personal brand. So I've advised a lot of these top achievers over the years, you know, and pretty gnarly is back in a lot of internet marketers, you know, these internet renegade dudes, these internet millionaires, you know, like 30K a day kind of guys off of one website. They're running three websites and they're 22 years old. They've been up on Mulholland. That's how they roll. You know, it's not... it's a game, you know. They were raised playing video games,
right?
But now every point is a dollar bill now, and they did this whole empire building not out of the money making, but because maybe mama told them they couldn't.
It's all a game. Every point is a dollar bill. Yeah, I'm putting that in my next.
I'm talking
my
about,
next
dude. I got some of my. I work with a lot of like growth hackers. Some that work for me, and mm-hmm. others that. I mean, how they think is gnarly, dude. If they're making $1 million a month, you know, and then FTC hits them with a fine, you know, $1 million fine, they'll say, okay, fine, pay it, and keep going. Like right. their mentality is like, it's gnarly, man. If these are no fear and just keep rolling, you know, close up that. Okay, close up that. Set up another entity. Keep rolling.
So you're being very neutral right now. Is that a good practice? Is that a bad practice? You know,
it's an insight and a perspective. It's not a
sure.
endorsement.
No, yeah.
I'm just a reporting of what's happening on the.
So Jaddy kind of coaches entities.
Oh, no.
Who are like,
so that's the Jason O'Connor.
Okay, gotcha.
And the Jaddy Inc. From that, a lot of these cats will come to me and say, hey, Jason, I don't need enough of the mindset stuff and all the advising. I just need PR, you know?
Enough of my internal development. Yeah. Where's the money?
It's for real. You know, right. then it's just like, okay, do you got access to, you know, we're fundraising for this new hybrid fund and venture capital, you know? And then we're coming from Germany, we're looking for new office spaces. Or this morning's call, we've now followed, we got traction, now we got to set up some new entities in California. Jason, should I do this? I'm not an attorney, but I'll refer you to one of my trusted advisors that can take you and lead right. you by the hand. LLC, S-Corp, hey, I can answer, but I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to be. So it's the done for you. So, and
got
the
it.
Sum of it, 3 points. Business development, marketing, and PR. PR as an ultimate connector, because that's one of my roles. I'm a super connector, and I work with a lot of other connectors. And that's kind of where I got the whole reputation for influencing the influencers.
Right.
I'm nothing but a humble neck to a lot of powerful heads. But wherever the neck turns, the head turns.
Wherever you're, you know, I got to tell you, you don't know this yet, but you are making Robert's day.
Yeah, you really are, because I always ask for quotes on this podcast,
man.
And you're dropping like 15 at a time.
And people will be like, quote.
Yeah, really.
Quote.
Really?
Yeah, be like, quote. And then I feel bad, and I let them off the hook. So I'm gonna actually edit a lot of yours into their podcast. Give us a quote.
However I can serve and help you guys get what you want.
So you're almost like a concierge to the business community. It's which is really interesting. Like, it's an interesting position to be, you know. And you know, are there more of you out there? And you know, and if so, what's that? You know, that industry like?
Yes, there are more, and the quality of real players and those that get results are few. Probably handful. I got maybe 6 others here just in LA, Beverly Hills area. And there's a lot of people here that claim to be, I know someone, I got a guy, you know what
right.
I mean? But I was just advising one of my other guys just yesterday. You know, there's a huge difference with having a ton of likes, friends or followers, contacts. Let's just take a peanut butter and jelly style, just business world.
Peanut butter, you know? Jelly style.
You know, just you can claim to have a lot of contacts, right? But there's a difference between having contacts and quality relationships that have been time tested, trusted, and proven. Those kind of relationships where I can just text and say, transfer $500K to this wire, you know, wire $500K, a dollar amount tomorrow,
right.
I'm good for it, don't worry, and it's done, as compared to someone trying to go on Facebook with all their supposed friends and saying, I need help, can you do $5 to PayPal? And,
right.
you know,
right.
like, okay, they're contacts, right? Contacts, you need to go to the yellow book. How's
yeah.
that working for
but that's
you?
But like, it's like Kickstarter, right? I think there's a misconception about Kickstarter, Indiegogo, any kind of crowdfunding, because at the end of the day, you need a personal network to go out to. You don't just put a project up on a,
truth.
You know, a
crowd. These are your personal brand advocates.
Right.
And, you know, you want to develop those. I always say, sow a seed before the need. You know, develop these relationships before need.
You write
comes
that down,
up.
Robert? Sow
yeah.
a seed before the need.
I mean,
even along those lines, I mean, you touched on something that's really important, right? Like, how, and you can answer this in the Jason Okuma style, how important is network as opposed to net worth, right? Like, there's a lot of people who have money and capability, but then there's also people who have really good relationships. You know, do those things intertwine? Is one sort of more important than the other? Like, what is your take on network versus net worth?
I believe it works in synergistic harmony when the perfect match is made. Both parties are needed. Me, on having been on both sides, so to speak, I can just give you a report of how it goes down. A lot of powerful, influential players. The reality of it is they're all in their own silo. And a real estate mogul A is in silo A. Two buildings down, two doors down, real estate mogul B, who they need each other. And they're very powerful. Money's not an issue. But they're in their own silos, dominating their own space of business ventures and interests. That's where they would call someone like the Jason Okuma to make that high caliber connection and introduction. Right. And I wouldn't make the introduction or connection unless I thoroughly had a trusted relationship with both of these individuals. Right. And I know the backstories. Just because someone has money and someone needs money doesn't mean I will make the introduction or connection, because we're in a very litigious society and it's a waste of time too.
Right.
Whereas I know the backstory. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. A needs B. B needs A. But there's a good vibe. There's a good harmony. You know what? And if either of these individuals, Business A, Business B gets a message from me and say, I believe you should engage. Or they usually get an email from me. It's like, introduction, so-and-so to so-and-so. They start freaking out. Text me, oh, dude, when, where? You know, and it's like, because they already know I saved them a bunch of time, hassle, and headache and money from working with the wrong people.
Right.
So, but again, it's up to them to ultimately decide if synergy and business is going to happen.
Right. No, you're the connector.
But I'm the pre-qualifier, so to speak.
And I think that, I mean, your perspective comes into play because you look at so many different areas of business and personality. And, you know, sometimes matchmaking in that instance isn't always just, you know, oh, this person does it too. Like, you guys should talk. And usually that's, you know, sometimes I'll get introductions and I'm like, why do I need to talk to this person? I have no, like, and then we talk and then we're like, it's like a bad first date. You go, Yeah, and then other times somebody hits the nail on the head. You know, the other day I had a call that was scheduled for a half hour, went on for an hour and a half because the person that connected us, like, Chris Denson, right? But there's almost like a loose science to it, right? Where it's, you know, it's that ability to see personalities and need in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. And there's so much of skill set and head knowledge that I rely on in making and in creating and developing these right. influential relationships. But then there's I call it the, you know, like the X factor. There's like a you know, not to get all weird on you guys, but
get weird, man. We like it weird.
You know, like there's like you know, a discernment, you know, you gotta get out of your head and go more into your heart and spirit to really feel, all right, man, I think this will work. And that's those kind of things. I always follow that voice. And
there was a yoga. I watched a yoga, not a DVD, but it was like a Hulu video or something like that. I don't know. I was just up too early one day, and I was like, "Hey, what's on?" But it was really interesting. I've maybe done yoga twice, you know, maybe four times in my life. And the guy who was hosting it with another, you know, a female co-host, he's, you know, they were talking about posture, right? And, you know, your shoulder blades go together, and, you know, your chest is out, you know, not like you want to fight somebody, but just, you know, good posture. Yeah. And they said, imagine walking into a room for a business meeting, heart first. Mm. And I go, oh, that's actually, like, you know, it put it in perspective. It's really awesome. Let's switch gears for a little, a quick second. Speaking of a lot of the developments and just relationships and brokering you've done, Silicon Valley or Silicon Beach has really kind of taken off here in LA and Southern California.
The last 24 months.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? And, yeah, you know, because you were, from what I understand, you were very much involved in the escalation of this as a sort of a community.
Yeah. I mean, at the sum of it, again, I'm a people guy, you know, I'm a people person, and they happen to be entrepreneurs, which I have a huge affinity with. I'm an entrepreneur as well, this whole scene. But a lot of them are tech. And now, actually, Silicon Beach is now just not just tech anymore. It's, you know, it's literally the startup scene. You know, a lot of e-commerce, a lot of internet, or you know, with the whole retail hardships that are hitting traditional retail. Everybody is going online, and hey, they're starting up. You know, so it's really an exciting time to be in LA. But yeah, just what I can share on that is there's a lot of
he's got that look. He's got that look in his eyes, like he's searching. Like, what can I say? Because I have.
Well, I mean, what can I say? Is there's a lot of momentum, a lot of exposure, and there was a little bit of some exodus out of the Valley, Silicon Valley area. A lot of big players quietly made some moves a while ago. Money people, entrepreneurs, and getting positioned and set up in LA. I mean, the world comes to Los Angeles. I mean, literally, I got interest from all of the Chinese, Hong Kong, Singapore, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Europe. I mean, everybody's flooding to LA. And before, it was strictly for like entertainment in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Now, when you got the entertainment cats, you know, like Ashton and Will.i.am, you know, entertainment is fusing now with music and fashion, and right. And it's hip to be a geek. It's hip to be smart, a programmer. That whole, I don't know if there's this big campaign about programming now. Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, all the, right. I don't know if you...
Oh, internet.org.
Yeah, or something like that. And they're challenging everybody just to... I mean, that's awesome, right? But they're speaking that conversation to the young people. But the thing that we have in what the world is calling Silicon Beach, which Silicon Valley doesn't have up in the Bay Area, or Silicon Alley out in New York. Mm-hmm. New York has a lot of money.
Silicon Alley, that doesn't sound sexy at all.
Yeah, no, but they got a lot of money. So that's a lot of money out there. However, why there's a flock coming here is, you know, we have money here. We have celebrity, which everybody gets Google Gaga over that. But the big play we have here in L.A. is content. And moving forward in the next season ahead, especially in the digital space, is content. You guys understand this.
Yep. Yeah.
And in all of the other cities, we are king of content. And I mean, look at YouTube, or look at you know, the warehouse over there. Look at the all of the content providers. Look at what the official Silicon Beach, Venice, Playa, they're all the way up to Santa Monica, you know, but now it's like kind of weird. It goes down to San Diego, Orange County, into LA and downtown. However, you know, these are all content providers, and, you know, traditional TV networks, you know, they're all like having to submit, and this is around the world. Syndication is coming off of some dude doing Vine videos, you know, like what? And these licensing deals, right? So. Yeah.
Did you ever see the Ryan Gosling Vine? Ryan Gosling hates cereal?
Yeah. No, man. No.
Oh.
No.
Jason, you and the audience of three, please watch the. We have nothing to do with it, but the Ryan Gosling Vine, they're trying to feed him cereal. It's
so I'll good. Check it's out. Superb. Ping me the link, man.
Superb. Now I lost my train of thought. Going all
Silicon Beach. And, so there's perfect. A lot of action. So money players are coming in. Actually, I think Forbes or Fortune just released. I posted on somewhere on one of my. Social media stuff of how actually anyone can do a Google search on the whole Silicon Beach and LA startup scene and do their own research.
Right.
And it's the next, I'd say, 3 to 5 years are going to be very exciting for anyone in the space.
So going a little bit more deeply in that area, I mean, content marrying Silicon Beach, right? Like, where do you see, like, give us a... I don't know, like an example, or just how do you see it in a real world? We know there's some examples out there before the audience look like, you know, it's not a natural, from a thought perspective, it's not a natural fit. And like, oh, yeah, Paramount and, you know, the makers of Foursquare. Like, how do those things actually match up? Is it from the entrepreneurial thought and creativity, and they need the content in order to put their product out there, or they need content creators to create campaigns? Where do you see the glue?
The glue. I mean, at the end of just business and marketing and making money basics is, you know, money goes where eyeballs flow. So wherever these entrepreneurs or startups can really aggregate some gnarly targeted eyeballs, it'll attract money. And the networks, I won't name any of them, that are in triage or having a hard time right now, they have to get creative and you know, forced to think outside the box to look at other revenue models to see how they can monetize different channels that was never on their radar 2 years ago.
Right.
5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Robert, I mean, Robert and I were talking about that in between shows today. And it was, you know, this whole idea of there's a whole new generation of thought process, not just kids making YouTube videos and making millions of dollars a year. Big studio doesn't get it, right? They don't get it. They don't know how to play in it. And then they have the same hurting model, you know, where people aren't going to the theaters anymore. And you're right. Like, you have to reinvent through diversification.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the tech community that you've been involved in and that development and bring these people together, you know, that it's, you know, it's a nucleus of the movement that you're talking about is, yes, let's diversify our revenue streams and different ways of content.
Right.
You said gnarly a few times. Where did you grow up?
I'm originally from Hawaii, so growing up...
I love when people from Hawaii say Hawaii.
Oh.
But from
Hawaii, like always growing up, it was back and forth too. I was in the Northwest, so our family moved to Seattle, to the mainland, we call it. Growing up, I was going back and forth. But between Hawaii and Seattle, but my whole culture, I come from a pretty large family on both sides. And half of us was in the islands and half of us went to the Northwest. So
what in your background, at least, you know, in that development phase of your life kind of fed the Jason Okuma I'm talking to today, right? Like, how did you become this Jason Okuma? You know, what sorts of childhood experiences did you have that kind of gathered your insight and really, you know, made you who you are?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a pretty.
You don't have to cry. You don't,
yeah, no. I mean, just like for me, I have a little different story. I mean, I know God blessed me with some pretty awesome gifts, but it was my choice to take those gifts and develop those skill sets over the years. And I mean, I'm different. I started doing business at the age of 10. You know, like I was doing import export through catalogs out of Bali. You know, I had a big family, so I was like trying to.
What were these products? What were you?
Like Bali, so they do like carvings, and there was like elephants, and I would sell to my family, like, oh, you know, the trunk has to be up. That's good luck, you know. And
so wow.
This stuff, right? 10, you know, and then I've always watched all these infomercials, and what I didn't know, I was really studying psychological marketing, direct response, all these things, you know. But then, just being very entrepreneurial, so I got into all these kind of money making things at a young age, and it's like 10, 11, 12, you know, and Carlton Sheets and making money from home and this is real estate and mail order. And so, I mean, it's pretty crazy, right? But then actually I did like my first real estate deal at the age of 15. So,
is that even legal? Like, how do you have,
well,
like,
no, cause you have your,
right.
My your parents. Yeah. Right. You gotta be 18 and do all that. So, it's cool, man. You know, went through the classifieds and I found a no money down seller financed, you know, and, they carry the loan, you know, and, it's pretty awesome, man. So that, and then through that all, I was our family coming from Hawaii. There's direct sales is huge. It's massive, and a lot of the nutraceutical companies that are out of Utah,
right.
They pre-test or test products in the islands because of the natural connectivity and relationship referral base in the islands. So,
or just in case something goes wrong, nobody's
no,
it's like suddenly Hawaii looks like the island of Dr. Moreau.
You know, we had involvements with a lot of those companies. My family was a part of like having some of those companies, but at a very young age, I was in direct sales. So I was learning from like multimillionaires and this and that. So I actually excelled at and sharpened my skill sets of people and connecting and understanding different characteristics. And so by the time I was 17, working and building, I had nearly a sales force of almost 5,000. So, you know, it's, and I was Tuesdays and Thursdays and I was the kid in the front of the room training up doctors, lawyers, attorneys, 2-3 times my age, you know. And
wow.
Power of, you know, persuasion, influence, posturing, you know, pre-qualifying, you know, all these kind of, it's just like, I was the dude in high school that I would like
probably be corny today, but I, you know, wear a suit, you know, after, you know, and had a briefcase. And I was one of the first in junior high. Remember beepers, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, literally, I had to get a sign up. I had a beeper or pager. Pactel, I think it was back then. So, yeah, man, you know, but and parents had to, like, it was legit. It wasn't like drug dealing. It was like for,
yeah.
And then I got one. I had one of the first cell phones in my high school district.
Yeah, was, you had that one in the briefcase
yeah,
the, too.
OC, the... yeah, it was like, yeah, it was pretty. So, and then the brick. You remember the brick?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'd like to see a photographic journey through your life. Like, yeah, I want to see what a little 10-year-old Jason Okuma looks like.
I would like
selling the house.
Exactly.
No, but like, you know, I'd be hanging out with all my homies, you know, playing basketball and this and that, and then after school, you know, and they. I remember, I don't know if they have, it's not Domino's, Pietro's Pizza. This was like in Seattle area. It's just like whatever. So, you know, they, back then, I think minimum wage was like $4.90. I was like, yo, you got to work a whole hour to make. You're not making $4.90 because they take
taxes.
The tax part.
Yeah.
And you got and I'm
health
like,
insurance.
And I'm like, you know, I'm getting building up people to go, you know, move product or, you know, business.
You
stuff,
were like,
so.
The, well, you know, like.
So I would get off of my, like, baggy clothes, jeans, hanging with the homies, and then go off to the meetings with, like, with my mom.
But you're like, you're, you know, and
in a suit and tie. And
at least in, like, some, you know, let's call them less affluent neighborhoods, you know.
Oh, I don't come from money. I'm
not saying
up,
you do,
dude.
but you know, it is the. It's those characters, if you will, quote unquote, in the neighborhood who kids idolize and look up to. And it's almost like you were that guy, but you were completely legit, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know? And 10 years old.
And no, 10. This is my teenage years.
Right.
So
how does one, like, you've taken, like you said, a lot of that stuff that you've done as a kid and really harnessed it and worked on it. How do you, what's the best, if you had to give someone like a simple piece of advice, right? Like a one-liner on how to imitate that. Right, because we all have some skill or interest that we've
how
had.
How to imitate what specifically?
Just that ability to harness an interest and build a real business or career or, you know, lifestyle.
I mean, the first thing that pops up to mind is I always teach my students, clients, audience, you know, is success leaves clues. It's very simple. Success leaves clues. So establish what you want, a company you'd like to you know, you see something that you look to, a person you look to. You want to have a successful marriage, start seeking out couples that have been together 50 years. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So success leaves clues, right? And model after that. Model. And that's what I did, man. I don't have traditional university. I didn't go to traditional university. When I graduated, I had 3.9 GPA. I had a lot of scholarship money, but you know, young, cocky. Oh, I'm 17. I got, you know, why do I need to go get into debt $300,000 and to get a piece of paper to go ask for someone to work? Can I get a job? You know,
right.
But I'm a huge advocate of specialized education.
Right.
So
right.
And I've invested a lot in my own personal education, but from individuals that had the result that I wanted, and I would invest to acquire those skill sets to kind of hack through.
Along those lines, three people that you actually look up to and admire, and that you would like, oh my gosh, I wish I, you know, not that you wish you had what they have, but who, you know, or let's do one, but one person you look and you say, That's the model for me, the future Jason Okuma.
Wow. I mean, that's fun. I mean, because I roll and run with a lot of individuals, like the guru guys and
right.
personal development and business guys. But it's funny. Forget about business and all that. It always comes down to, I mean, literally, Joel Osteen, you know.
Right.
So he's not like a business tycoon or anything, but he impacts a lot of tycoons.
Right.
You know, and that's the first name that pops to
yeah.
mind. And but if you can see, it comes back to who I am. I'm always about personally myself, you know, and
right.
growing. And it's funny. I'll go into like hardcore big business situations or conversations, and I find myself by the end, I'm like coaching or advising the guy on some life stuff or like, and that was the major value add out of that meeting more than the actual introduction or connection or resource I had to him. So I get juicy on that, you know,
right.
to really help positively transform people's lives, which will obvious or the residual effect was if they're in business, it'll affect or impact the business as well. So right. Some people, they work on the business first and their home life, their family, their personal life, their health is going down, but they'd have what the world would call success, money. Well, success is all relative. You know, I've been on both boats, you know, so
right.
Seen both of it. And yeah, handle your personal affairs first is what I always say. Handle your personal affairs first.
So you sound busy. You sound like a busy guy.
Nah, I used to like to be busy, but I got to stay productive. Busy
right.
keeps people broke, you know? So,
right.
And that's part of clearly defining what I'm supposed to, what my objectives are for this hour, for this, and leads into the next hour. So I'm huge on time management, efficiency, leverage. You know, if I'm going out to, you know, I'm in Beverly Hills, offices in Beverly Hills, and we're based there. A lot of people come to me, destination location, so that's very logistic. It's awesome. However, when I'm out in Silicon Beach area or Santa Monica or Venice or on that space, when I'm out there, boom, 9 meetings set up, you know. So I can bam, 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 efficient. I'll set up like my friends at Rock, you know. So I'll just boom, hey, I'm here. And then just logistically. So it's time management. But again, it's not to meet to waste time.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? It's like
it's not
okay,
a shits and giggles meeting.
Yeah,
this
you know,
is like let's get something done.
There's an objective or there's vetting happening. Literally, I had a conversation. I think it was on my personal or private Facebook, and you know, I this whole people can front online, you know, and create a facade and who they are. So
oh, you should see my website. I'm like, oh, I got a crown on and everything. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, man. So my whole thing is I'm old school, man. I'm eye to eye, belly to belly, you know.
Right,
so
right.
I take the time that the big players don't have time to do, and I have to vet through and find out who are the real players, and to really get a pulse of that, I can look into their eyes and really have a conversation and get a feel
sure.
that their social media pictures and videos could be fronting on, you know? And by doing that, it's actually insurance for the individuals that I represent or the groups.
You're doing the legwork. You're doing the
absolutely.
Work for them. That's
yeah.
awesome. Robert, you were going to say something, or were you just about to beatbox?
I was just going to say, to your point with...
it was like... and it was like
to your point of, like, you know, people fronting online, have you heard of that guy, what's his name? I think it's Lavish Bitch.
No.
You a fan of
one?
Or?
I'm not a fan, but apparently he's like this big, you know, kind of like internet troll that okay. kind of like he was trolling a lot of celebrities and he kind of like got his own name out through that. Like
okay.
he would.
It's called piggyback marketing. Is that
yeah, pretty
it's
much.
A smart play, internet
yeah,
marketers.
Yeah.
But
that.
It's really tough to do, in my opinion, because, you know, to call out celebs and he would call them out and say, like, man, you're dirt poor compared to me. Like, that was his angle.
Oh, okay.
And it was just, like, he would reach out to, like, Rihanna, like, Ben Baller, like, a whole bunch
Does he get a response or reaction?
I think he got blocked by a couple.
Okay.
But, I mean, did it work to actually build an audience for him? Because you're right.
It did, because if you Google his name, if you Google it's
That's
Lavish,
what he's known for.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, so he
there are blogs,
his brand and he succeeded.
There are, like, people looking to debunk this kid. And it's like, he's just a high school kid, I think.
Oh, right.
So that's pretty
right.
fascinating that, like, he kind
of
built that
I don't
esteem.
Need to know the details of
yeah.
it all, but just what the little golden nuggets you just, or the points that you just shared with me, the reason why that would be successful as a campaign or anything is because he used the basic million-dollar secret, intrigue and curiosity.
Exactly.
First of all, celebrities are intrigued and curious. And then the audience is intrigued and curious. You're trying to figure out, who is this guy?
Right.
Boom. That's another eyeball. That's another
exactly.
ear. And we're not in the whole social media marketing. We're not in the internet marketing. We're not in the advertisement. We're in the attention marketing phase.
Yep.
And it's all about attention, which you utilize the tools of social media. You utilize digital media, video, network TV, that's attention. Because without attention, and we're very attention deficit, that's why. And that's why people ask, how are you booked? Or why are you so... booked up with so many meetings is because the players that I work with, boom, I kill all the noise, eye-to-eye, belly-to-belly engagement. And that's how things get done, you see? And,
right.
and I teach a huge thing. I taught this to Fortune 500 companies when I spoke in Vegas. You know, these guys, the biz dev guys, I was teaching them online, offline, ASAP. That's how you get things done. Connect online, LinkedIn, and professionals.
Right.
If there's, you know, do your due diligence. Is it worthwhile? Get offline as soon as possible. That's how you get things done.
Yeah.
And
we were even talking about that earlier in another conversation with another guest. But, you know, it's that idea of getting, even for our brand, to get offline and go do an experiential play, right? Like, get in the faces. Let people need to see and touch and feel that shirt.
Sensory.
No matter how well you market it online and how good it looks, you know, on the mannequin or in the photos or in the videos or whatever celebrity is wearing it. I want to go feel that shirt and see if it even fits me, right? Before I order. So, I mean, it's amazing that you touch on that from a personal relationship basis.
Right.
Finish this phrase for me. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. You look confident. You look super confident. It's not that hard anyway. Innovation to me is
constant improvement.
It's great. I was expecting another profound quote, but no. You're right. It's expand on that a little bit. Just
Kaizen. One of my teachers used to be the top of Sony and Sanyo and. Kaizen, constant innovation, constant improvement. This is the strategy that the Japanese literally used to. They just walked in and to Detroit, got a GM General Motors vehicle, took it back to Japan, nut by nut, screw hand, took it apart and put it back, innovated upon the millions of dollars of research that GM did. And made it more efficient, improved, and then boom, mass product. And then they took that to every other month. So Kaizen is a philosophy I teach a lot of my student businesses or even personal people, achievers. Constant innovation, constant improvement. Atrophy sets in. You know, there's only life or death. In Hebrew, we say chai. Chai means life. You want to focus on going after life, because the second you stop growing, you start dying. So that's why I'm a huge advocate of personal growth, personal development, spiritual development, because that will directly impact your performance and your achievements and your results in your business and professional worlds.
That's awesome. You blow me away. This has been a great conversation. I don't, Robert, do you have anything on that blank piece of paper that you want to add?
Not noteworthy.
No, this has been great.
It's usually for questions. I was like, but you've been so informative. Obviously, there hasn't been much for us to ask.
Yeah. Since you are very like spiritual, philosophical. Almost like, what was your major in? Well, you didn't major, huh?
No,
you said you didn't do traditional.
Oh. No, so I literally sought after those that had the results that I wanted, and I would study and model after that until. And I don't believe in failure. I just believe that thing didn't go the way it should have went, so that it was an opportunity to learn how not to do it next time, and then you can sell the information of how not to do it and monetize from that. So how can that be failure, right?
Right.
So. To really understand, hey, that's what I want. And that's why, like, these whole business gurus or they're selling information, and that's all good. But at the end of the day, today, the play is people want results. They don't need more information.
Right.
I want that. Make it happen. Got it. Make it happen. And that's your best calling card, you know? So if an individual that may not be a big celebrity business guru or consultant is pitching a bunch of info or info products, that might be great. But then there's some no-namer providing gnarly results. Bam. They got the results. People say, I want that. And your phone's, your emails, it's off the hook, right? And that's your best calling card. And then later on, people say, man, I want to learn how to do that. And say, well, and like for me, I have a lot of people that kind of mentor from afar. And that's what I love about social media, because time is a very valuable commodity to me and I only have limited spots of it.
Shout out to your 30,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah. You know, to be able to, like, people say, well, how do you do it? And I say, well, don't let me, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Watch me do it. And that's the best way, you know?
Right.
So. And that's the best, and that's why people say, man, Jason, I want to learn how do you build those kind of relationships? Watch me do it, you know? Yeah. Or and even in social media, they don't have to ask me, how do we know you know social media? I say, I have nothing to pitch or sell you.
Yeah.
To your research. Well,
that's actually the sub note I actually had under my 30,000 Twitter followers thing. Okay. Is, I mean, this idea of so many people out there call themselves social media gurus or experts at such and such, and then they got like 400 followers themselves.
Straight up. No, I think digital agencies, social media firms. I'm just like, okay, so you trying to pitch a 10 grand package to this company to build up their audience engagements and get all this, and then you go to their website or their social media, they got like 213 followers, you know, and this and that. And it's not about the numbers, but
it's the perception.
My whole thing
right?
is like
perception is reality.
Yeah, right. So it's, you know, you can't give what you don't have. I guess that's
and they may do a damn good job
maybe,
at their, with their client work. Exactly. We live in such a transparent culture.
Absolutely.
Where it's like face value is important because you might not get to the point where you're talking about where it's belly to belly, eye to eye. It's like, right. All right, let me see if this person's real next. Is usually the next step. But I wanted to thank you just for coming out.
My pleasure, man. You know? I really enjoyed my time and. Look forward to helping your audience grow and build and empower them and help them get what they want.
Lord knows we can't help you.
No. Yeah. We all need help. We all need help.
No, but thank you, everybody. This has been another iteration of Innovation Crush with
Innovation
Jason Okuma. How can they find you, Jason?
Hit me up, jasonokuma.com, JasonOkuma.com or Twitter, you know, so at Jason Okuma, and just Google me, and I'm here, and all roads lead to Rome, all roads lead to Jason Okuma online.
So. All right, thank you guys, and thank you, Jason, and you'll listen to us later. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.